I am so moved by what you've just done, not just now, but in the last seven months you've been praying. And my wife and I, the family, we prayed a lot for God's will to be done. And when you're across that far and the government is doing his stuff, you can come to the realization that this belongs to God. Because you cannot control anyone. Spoke to many friends that knew different people. But they said, let this take its time. And so I really believe that it's because of your prayers, your convictions, and your desire that God moved to get us here as a family.
Amen.
Thank you very much. My family's elated, excited to be here. Other than the sleeping and waking up in the midnight, we are happy to be in this space. Amen. Yeah, this morning I'd like to talk about choose growth. Whether you like it or not, you actually choose to do certain things in your life. Actually, everything. Even the stuff that you've automated. Sometimes you're so automated that you're not thinking that you're making choices as you go along. And this morning, you're dressed the way you are because you made that choice. You may say it was the easiest dress to get or shirt. You made a choice anyway. This morning, you got here on time or otherwise because you made that choice. This morning, you had breakfast or otherwise because you made that choice. I'm trying to convince you that you make choices. That it doesn't just happen. It's not your home. It's not your children. You're unhappy or happy because you made that choice. How about that?
Come on, Steve.
I'm not understanding now, am I? But I'm trying to get you to understand. You see, as you can see here, spiritual growth is governed by choices we make as disciples. There are principles that God allows us to make that choice. Yes, God allowed Jesus to die on the cross for your sin and my sin, but whether I respond to that is a choice. Yes, it's true that we understand we're saved by the grace of God. Whether we respond to that or not is a choice we make. You know, if you don't understand that, then you'd think that things happen on accident, God willing, hope. And yes, there's a willing of God, but when it comes to you turning yourself in so that God can walk with you, it's a question of choice. You cannot be forced into doing the things of God. You have to choose to be in that place. When you understand that, you begin to ask yourself questions about how do you make decisions. Do you make decisions because your mom said so? Because your dad said so? Because it is the fashionable thing to do. It's the vogue of the time. How do you make your decisions? You have to start thinking about that. So we'll read a bit today and understand how that goes. This is where we must go to allow God to transform us. We must begin to make choices that allow God to transform you and I. If you don't make those choices, God then cannot work. We cannot stay in the same place. And I have an exit there. In other words, you cannot stay on the same highway hoping to be transformed. You have to make an exit. And when you're making an exit, you have to make that decision in time. I know something now. I was driving his car on Wednesday. And I was telling myself, and each time I said, okay, watch out, stay on, keep on. We keep left. I had to keep right. Keep right, keep right, keep right. Well, my mind says, go left. I says, no, keep right. You have to think, how are you going to survive your spiritual journey? What will you do to be transformed? In other words, how will you allow God to walk in you? To walk in you and transform you. Not the other way around, to walk with you or to make you or to make God do what you want him to do. It doesn't work like that. Allow him to walk in you and begin the transformation inside out. Now, choose a close walk with God. You see, it's a choice to walk with God. You don't just wake up and you're with God. It's a choice you do. You say, I want to read my Bible. I want to know what God is saying to me today. Many of us read the Bible because we come to church and you hear people telling you, did you have your quiet time? I'd like us to raise this bar a little bit and say, I want to read my Bible this morning because I want to hear from God. I want to hear what God is telling me. And I have some, I've had some struggles last week. Maybe you had anger issues. Maybe you had just depression issues, different things. But you can hear God, and God can encourage you from that position and transform you and bring a newness in you. But you cannot do that if you're not reading the Bible in such a way that God speaks to you. We read the Bible because we're Christians. No, I want you to hear God when you read the Bible. Ask yourself, why are you reading that chapter? Why are you reading that book? Why is it important that you understand God today? What will it mean for you long term if you hear God today properly? That is why we must make that decision. Not just read because we have to, but because we realize that we must choose to hear God and allow God to speak from us. Amen. It's a different relationship when you allow someone to touch you that way. It's not one of legalism. It's not one of control. It is one of a desire to be transformed with God. Amen. You understand that? Yep. So Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3, and I can read it from here as you read over there, says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. That's a choice. That you choose not to walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. That's a choice you make. You may leave here and tomorrow be with this kind of people. Make them your best buddies, whether it's campus, whether it's teen, whether it's single, whether it's married.
Come on, Steve.
You can make that. You can make those your people. You can make that by the environment you allow to be in your place, the kind of music that's coming your way, the kind of movies that's coming your way. That can be your issue.
Yep.
And that stops you from being transformed. The kind of stuff that is actually scripting us every day, because as and listen to stuff, you are actually being scripted to think in a certain way. You understand that?
Yep.
Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. That you have a scripture that you allow, that you ask yourself, what does this scripture say to me? Something you meditate on. Something that turns you around and allows you to focus on God when you're being tempted to be worldly, when you're being tempted to give in to your emotions, when you're being tempted to give up on something that is godly, that you have a scripture that calls you back and allows you to begin to be transformed and allows you to put yourself in God's hands. You know, it's hard to put yourself in God's hands. You see, when my brother Mike told me to drive him, I didn't tell him, but I thought, I hope he knows that, I hope he's ready to go to God if something happens. So I took the car anyway, didn't tell him anything, no threats, I just drove the car. But believe me, my brain kept saying, uh-oh, you're going the wrong way. And I had to drive and say, okay, use every knowledge you know, the lines, the instructions, or the signs and everything. And we got here,
Amen.
And then I saw the road today at daytime, and I said, I drove this road? It winds a lot. It winds a lot to get here. And my point is as simple as that. You have to delight in the Lord. In other words, I had to remember everything I learned in driving school, but opposite. And when you delight in that kind of place, then you see that God is transforming you. Gradually, I began to accept that, yes, I was driving on a different road, but because of what I could remember from the learnings from the school, I could begin to accept that this would happen. In the same way, if you struggle with different things, you have to go back to Scripture, meditate on that.
Yep.
Then as you turn your mind to that, your mind begins to affect your thoughts. Your thoughts begin to affect how you behave and how you speak. And your habits begin to change. And as all that is happening, then your habits begin to form your character. And eventually, that becomes your destiny. But don't get caught up in the formula of it. Give yourself over to God. Amen. The formula can grab you a little bit, but give yourself to God. And that is by meditating through the Word of God. That's how you do it. And then he is like a tree planted by the stream of water, which yields its fruits in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Now, I know it's winter, and I was looking at the trees and didn't see the leaves about it, but they were standing. The trees were standing. And I could only conclude that the roots were very deep for it to stand during this time of winter. And I could conclude that in a few weeks, as I've been told, and I believe that in a few weeks, I'll be seeing rain and better weather for me, and I think for you. So the point is how deep are you? How deep are your roots? You see, you cannot deepen yourself if you're not meditating on the Word of God. If you read the whole of this chapter, you realize that the other side of it is that people that do not walk like this with God eventually just fall off the rails. And that's the point you must understand, is that for us to be transformed then, it's important to ask ourselves, how deep are our roots? How quickly do you give up on God? What does it take for you to say, forget Christianity, forget the Bible, forget what? How rooted are you with personal things? How rooted are you with emotional things? Do you allow God to take charge of that? See, we all love God to a certain degree, but challenges can reveal how rooted you are. So I'll let you think about that. What type of company are you? What type of company do you keep? During the week, it's easy to have friends right now, but it's possible that you don't have friends in church. It's even possible not to feel close to people at church. You have to invest in building relationships within the congregation. You have to invest in that. It takes time, sitting down over a cup of tea, coffee, iced tea, hot chocolate, everything. Take some time and sit down and invest in a relationship. Jesus did that. He had three good relationships. Do you have any of those? If you don't, you feel lonely. You don't feel like part of the church of God. And over time, you cannot be transformed because there's no place for you to engage with these people and talk through what you're going through in life. Do you look forward to spending time with God? I mean, do you look forward to coming to church? Not at 11, at 10. At 10. Do you look forward? I'm going to spend time with God. I'll be there, not 10, I'll be there at 9:30. 9:45. I know I don't have a leverage on you like your boss who says, if you don't show up at 10, I'll take your job away from you. But this is bigger than your job. This is about heaven. This is about where you spend the rest of your life. This is bigger than your job. Come, look forward to spend time with God. Amen. What kind of tree are you? That's an analogy of what fruit do we get from you. Are you deep? How deep are you? Have you struggled with God? You know, there are things that are unfair in life. Not everything that happens to you is of your own doing. Some things are just unfair. It's life happening. But do you still trust that God will work out for the good of those who love him? Amen. And that's the stuff that makes Christians struggle. Because we say, but I am a Christian. I've done everything I should do. How come I'm going through this? Well, I hope you had what we had today, that it's God's choosing. But entrust yourself to God so that you can see God's purpose come out at the very end. It's not always easy when you're going through a tough time, but long time you can see what God was fixing. So my point is, how deep are you with stuff you think, I didn't deserve to go through this? Will you still trust God to see you through that? Second point, choose your fruits of life. In other words, Your life has a result. And when you look at your life, it's where it is because to a certain degree, the choices you're making that is bringing you to that level. You follow that? If you're waking up late, not like me because of not sleeping properly at night, probably you're sleeping too late. There are choices you're making there. You see that? If you're not studying well enough, if you're a student, it'll create problems for you long term in your future. Does that make sense? But let's come back to the spiritual aspect of it. Matthew 12:33, and this is a story that I think you've all read. I have the Message and NIV. He was talking to the Pharisees, and you know how he gets strong with them as he continues. But here we go. It says, if you grow a healthy tree, you'll pick a healthy fruit. If you grow a diseased tree, you will pick a worm eaten fruit. The fruit tells you about the tree. I was telling the brothers on Wednesday, you cannot argue with your lifestyle. You can't argue with your lifestyle. It is what it is. Now, I'm not saying that to label you and put you in a box. I'm saying that to awaken you to the fact that you can make changes if you want. Right. You can make choices. You follow that? Yeah. It's not about putting you in a box. No, no, no. I want you to understand that you can actually change those choices. God allows that. His book allows that. The Bible teaches us how to deal with that. So the other version says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad and its fruits will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruits. So we are the tree, right? How do you make a tree good? Make a tree takes pruning. If you prune a tree, it'll grow taller. You know that? If you don't prune it, the bush just touches the ground, and sometimes it catches diseases, all kind of diseases. And sometimes it dies out of that disease. Okay? So pruning is basically the change that God you will get when you connect with God in the Scripture. And as you're studying the Scriptures, then God begins to prune you because you realize, oh, no, I've been in sin. There are things I need to change. My attitude, the way I view women, the way I view men, the way I view life, I need to have a different attitude around that. That only happens when you're getting in the Bible. Yeah. You don't wake up one morning and you changed. No, you get in the Bible and allow that to transform you from time to time. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the idea that I can be a Christian that never allows God to transform me, it's a fallacy. It's because then I am going backwards to my sinful nature. And yet, if I get in the Bible and have a conversation around that, I keep changing. And we don't have to be uniform in terms of how we're reading it because we're all different. So you have to look at it from your own point and where you're sitting right now and engage from that point and develop your relationship with God. Amen. So pruning is necessary, amen? Amen. It's painful because you're cutting something off. Yeah. Now some of the stuff we have to cut off is painful. Wow. Yeah. But you need to. There are many things I'm learning and I'm still working on and letting God to prune me. But I need to embrace that because that is growth. Sometimes when somebody corrects you, it can feel a little bit painful, right? But when you look at the bigger picture of why this is being said, change happens. Amen? Watering is necessary for a tree to do well. You need to get in the Word of God, fellowship, prayer. What else do we need to do? Confession. We'll talk about that in a while, but you need to water your tree. Then it will happen. Weeding is necessary. Change the environment. Get rid of stuff that is killing you. What is killing your spiritual life? Get rid of that stuff. And there are many things that kill our lives. It could be just that we're not having the right environment in terms of friends. So we're influenced wrong. We're not influenced for Christ, right? Maybe what we need to do now is to ask that question. Where do I want to be in the next 5 years? So then choose the friends that will help you go that direction. Where do you want to be in the next 10? Where do you want your life? What do you want your life to count for when you're 80? If you wanted to count for a new car, I can tell you this. I like cars, don't get me wrong. I like cars. But if you just get a new car today, in 80 years, the car will not love you back. So So yeah, I like cars, but know your priority. If all you want to do is to get money, you will not take the money with you to the grave. They tried in Egypt. We go and dig it up and say, this is how the pharaohs lived. You need to get your priority right. God with you. You with your family if you're married. Your children. And let God transform you from there. That is weeding. That's all weeding. What kind of stuff is coming on your phone when you press that button? You got to weed that stuff out and say, that should not come on my phone. Well, or my internet or my computer. You need to say, I will not watch that kind of stuff. I'm talking pornography, amen? I know I'm talking stuff. Let me get specific. I'm talking pornography. So you want to hit those and weed that stuff. What kind of music are you listening to? Now, some music, man, is just corrupted. And then you may say you're old-fashioned. That's all right, but hear me out. If somebody's going to say, F this, S that, this way, that way, surely they don't respect themselves and don't respect you either. And that corrupts how you think about people. I think that it's wise to ask yourself, what kind of music am I listening to? You may like the beat and all that stuff. Then get on to jazz and get away from that stuff. Because if we don't, I want to talk to everyone, because as parents, we know this is going on in our homes.
Yep.
As teens, you listen to this stuff sometimes. And you can inoculate yourself from hearing stuff but never responding to it, because you've never checked out what the Bible says. And tell yourself, and allow that environment to stay. That environment is wrong. We have to walk, be the village to help each other. Be the environment that actually transforms as we get better. The community out there is looking for a place they can come and be transformed.
Amen.
Not come to a place that will become just like where they came from.
Wow.
It needs to be different, inspiring, that glorifies God.
Amen.
In finishing, choose to learn from God. In finishing, choose to learn from God. Let's get on with it. That's an old class. But never mind, I'm sure today we do internet and all that stuff. Deuteronomy, before God gave the instructions on how they're supposed to live together. Deuteronomy 5:1, Moses called all the people of Israel together and said, listen carefully, Israel, hear the decrees and regulations I am giving you today, so you may learn them and obey them. So God gave the information to the Israelites so that they can, what? He says what? Listen carefully. Then he says, hear the decrees and regulations I'm giving you today, so you may learn them and obey them. It's one thing to learn. It's another thing to obey.
That's right.
And I want to talk about inoculation. The whole principle of inoculation is that I give you a jab of a disease, slightly a weak virus or a weak bacteria, right? So that when the real disease comes, you have resistance, right? If all you do is learn but never obey, you're getting inoculation from the Word of God. Because then you learn a lot, but since you never obey God, in other words, you never turn yourself in, you harden your heart. You harden your heart. You just learn, but you never obey. You don't complete the cycle. And that inoculates your heart, so you become very good at rationalizing your lifestyle. You become very good at saying why this is this and why is that. And what you're really saying is, I don't want to obey God. Even though I learn X, Y, Z, I will not obey God to that degree. I'll learn, though. I'm open to hearing and I'm open to opening the Bible. But beyond that, I will not do what it says. You inoculate your heart. It's harder for you then to practice the gospel. It's harder for you to experience victories at home, at work, with friends, with sin, and all kinds of issues. Now, the challenge is that we, as a people, we tend to measure ourselves with performance. This is a relationship with God.
Amen.
It's not a performance,
right.
It's a relationship with God. We are this for a long time. For a long time, we'll be in this relationship with God. And many people don't have relationships, meaningful relationships. We're busy. We go to work, we go home, we come to church, we go to work, we go home, we're watching TV. We don't know how our relationship functions. We think we do. We need to unlearn and ask ourselves, how does a relationship function? Study that out in the Bible. I won't tell you that today. You need to study that out and see, how did Jesus walk with the people that he was calling to walk with him? How was that walking? How did God deal with the Israelites? How did that function? Get to understand. That's part of us turning ourselves in so that God may function with us. And so here we go with the aspect of some notes. If you find obeying God a challenge, check one, your attitude. The whole of you. What is your attitude with Christianity? With God? Is God cool for you? Is God a policeman?
Come on, Steve.
Is God a big uncle? Uncle Sam, IRS. I know that because I need to get some papers around that now. Who is God for you? I may say, I wish not everybody had a good childhood, so maybe your dad was not exactly what you wanted them to be. But thank them for taking care of you anyway. Maybe your mom was not exactly what you wanted them to be, but thank them for taking care of you anyway. So I'm not going to go there, but I'm going to ask you to think about this, that attitude can change when you begin to see who God is as. Okay, let me put it this way. The first day I got here, driving around, I couldn't figure where I was, right or left. I felt like I was in a hole. Why? Because I didn't know what street, which way looked where. But then I bought a map. Once I bought a map, everything made sense. Sometimes you may be in church and coming to God, but you have no clue how these things work. Get back to the scriptures and you begin to understand how it connects. You begin to understand how it connects. When you understand that, then the attitude will begin to change. My attitude changed. Everything became much simpler, doable. I said, oh yeah, you can live here. You can function here. Initially, I was saying, okay, this is a big challenge. How do you drive around here? But now I could. Predisposition. Some of us tend to be predisposed, fearful. You can't try that. That's too difficult. That's our predisposition. Some of us are predisposed negative. Everything you look at is, look at the hair, look at that, look at that. You always get the wrong stuff. You never see, oh, that's a good style or something nice. Predisposition. Some of us are predisposed angry. When we speak, anger comes out of us. Some of us are predisposed critical. These predispositions come with DNA issues, parenting issues, schooling issues, but God can fix all that. God can fix all that if you turn yourself over. This is the stuff that does not go away by just thinking. This is not the stuff that just happens because I'm a Christian. I'm going to change by osmosis. Somehow something's going to change. No. This is prayer, fasting, having good conversations, relationships that are building within the congregation of God, and transformation happens. My prayer for you today is that you can understand that you have a choice. You really do. You have a choice. It is upon you to begin making those choices. God bless you.
We learned so much, you know, just how God truly works in a powerful way, just how he speaks through people exactly what we need to hear today. I pray that everybody was very encouraged and inspired to do great things as we leave today. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear God, thank you so much this morning, Father, just for allowing us to be here. Father, truly, it is by your mercy, dear Lord, that we are here. It is by truly your grace that we are here, Father. And I thank you so much for Steve just really laying it down, Father, exactly what we need to hear. He didn't sugarcoat your word, dear Lord, and that's what we need to hear, Father. I pray that today we'll make the right choice so that we can draw closer to you, so we can grow, so that we can, learn from the tree of life, Father, which give us the right essential things to grow, Father. Father, I pray that we'll obey you, dear Lord, that we'll not procrastinate anymore, dear Lord, because truly it is our choice. It's either we do it now or we do it later or we won't do it at all, Father. And I pray, Father, that we'll learn from today, Father. Father, you are the author and perfecter of our faith, Father. You already know the book of our lives, dear Lord. Father, I pray that we will not, deter from that, dear God, Father, and understand that you know exactly what you're doing, that we cannot question your will. And I pray that we'll just do the right thing, dear Lord. Again, thank you so much for everything that you do. Help us to have an awesome, great rest of the day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.